Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning. It is a good morning. The Blue Jays are back. We got a star-studded lineup. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Like, it's supposed to be a little bit more lean in the summer, right? But our guy, Daniele, just...
It's like he's saving it.
He's putting together elite shows. It's like
July 5th, you thought? You thought. We got a Stanley Cup champion. We got an Olympic gold medalist and a Grey Cup champion. And Dan Shulman, who is a champion in his own right.
When it's and Dan Shulman, you're in a good spot.
Like, we're just crushing it. Yeah. And we got Justin, who's a beer league champion.
Well, thank you.
And I'm a champion of the people.
Champion slug yesterday, I hear.
I'm just getting back into life here. Just slowly tiptoeing into reality.
There's actually nothing better than if you did have a busy week, whether it's work or socializing or whatever, and you just get some like uninterrupted time.
Don't talk to me.
To sink into a couch. It is the best.
We got
it's better than the actual like thing that you just did.
Bunker got his very first grown-up bone. Because now his puppy teeth are gone, so he's allowed to have the real bone with, like the stuff still on it.
Mm.
The guy won't even sleep. He's obsessed with it. Like, he is going to town. There's shrapnel all over the house. Like, the couch, the ground. But he is so happy. He got a grown-up bone. It's a That's big good. Day in the household.
I didn't know there was a grown-up bone.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, there's puppy bones. Like, puppy bones, you're not really supposed to give them bone. So it's, like, they're for puppies. They're softer. It's good for their teeth. But he's now... 6-month-old in a week.
Mm.
His birthday.
Wow.
Very soon, his half-year birthday.
Time flies, eh?
It's actually depressing. Don't talk to me about it.
My dog is sworn off bones. Like, I think he, like, got a stomach ache once. He's so risk-averse that he's like, oh, this, I know this was associated with a bad feeling I had once, and I'm just not going to do this again. Just give me the regular treats. I'm good with those.
I actually had to hide his bone for a little bit because he wouldn't, like, I was like, we got to go to bed. He was like, no, I'm never going to sleep.
Give me all night.
Give me the bone. So, yeah, I just watched him eat his bone all day yesterday while I laid on the couch.
Fantastic.
Waiting for Joey Chestnut to do the damn thing.
And okay, so walk me through.
He saved America yesterday. That's all I got to say. He saved the United States of America in July 4th.
All the fireworks, everything were for him after.
He's the savior.
I just kind of like heard, I'm watching a little bit on Twitter. I'm trying to, just keep in touch with it.
At noon.
But you are, because we talked about your viewing experience, how you're going to soak this all in. No pun intended, soaking it in. What actually went down yesterday? I think you should lay it out for the listeners. Because a lot of people would be busy at work doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Was this his, like, greatest chapter, given that there was a lot to yesterday?
This might have been his greatest performance with all factors considered, not even just his performance in the dogs, but in, as I said, saving America. It's always a noon start time at Coney Island, and there's a lightning delay. A lightning delay. Like, a real, like, what is this, the PGA Tour?
And they got the women's
tour?
Competition in time, right?
Yeah, because they saved the big one for the end. And... as a nation, America almost had to face an Independence Day without Joey Chestnut, and I don't know if they would have survived. And he rallied the troops. There's a viral photo of him turning a corner, and he looks like the security guard that tackled Adam Hadwin and anyone plus the Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Combined with?
Tiger Woods walking up to the 18th green.
Nice.
The three of them. Combined into one human figure in his Nathan's jersey, rounding the corner, and it's explicit, but he's like, I'm going to get the rest of the guys out, and we're going to do this beep-er.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know.
It maybe doesn't make the most sense, but like, he was fired up.
And he was not allowing this competition to not be done on the day it is reserved for greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey Chestnut rallied the troops. And although he hit the under significantly, and which is something we predicted, and we have to talk about if we're concerned about his consumption levels decreasing, I don't even care because he saved a very important day in the United States.
Well, I'll give him credit because I'm not one to give Joey Chestnut or any real competitive eater any credit whatsoever because I'm just not into it. Just frankly not into it. But I will give him all the credit in the world. He deserves credit for his performance this past July 4th. Over any previous July 4th, even though he set records and did all those things, whatever, before. Because he had an excuse here. he had an excuse to not eat 60 plus hot dogs. And anyone who does not take the excuse to not eat 60 plus hot dogs is probably a pretty reasonable person, right? But it's like anything else in life where it's like, okay, I'm not too like thrilled about doing this. Like, you can't be thrilled about doing this, right?
No, this
like,
is all he does, it's Justin. A bless- this is
no,
his
it's a
life.
Blessing and a curse, right? Because there is something that you have to deal with after eating all these hot dogs, right?
Yes.
It's not that fun. It's the same way going to the gym's not all that fun. So in the same way, it's like, oh, okay, I'm planning to go to the gym. I'm going to do it, whatever. But maybe, you know, flat tire. And you're just like, ah, that's my excuse to not do this, right? That's the excuse to not go to the gym. It's the excuse to not do the thing that you were supposed to do. But he had that excuse yesterday. And he's like, no, we are doing this. I'm rallying the troops. I'm going to out-eat all of you. I'm going to drag you up on stage and then out-eat all of you.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it means about the future. You mentioned it. I don't know what it means. Maybe he's losing his fastball. Maybe he knew he could win this competition one more time and he's losing out on a ring if he doesn't get on stage yesterday. Maybe that factors into it. But he had the opportunity to not eat 60-plus hot dogs, and he did, and I'll give him credit
and
for that.
I said this yesterday when I invited him to my hypothetical barbecue. I was going to give him another chance of redemption because he ghosted me at the Rogers Center when I crushed 10 hot dogs, and he was nowhere to be found.
Yeah,
he's weaseled his way back in the heart. Okay, I want to save the rest of Joey Chestnut for the A-list because there's some clips that are absolutely electric factory, but we got to talk about the other big dog.
Mm. Good one.
Alek Manoah is back in a stunning turn of events, one that stops you in your tracks, really. And I got to look at my phone multiple times to be sure that it's not one of those fake bot accounts without a real verified check mark, but has been purchased. Alek Manoah is coming back to start for the Toronto Blue Jays in a Major League Baseball game on Friday night against the Detroit Tigers. In 2020, what year are we?
2023.
It's happening in a few days, 2 days from now, folks.
Yeah.
I don't think many, many people would have predicted this, and yet here we are.
Okay, so what's your reaction then?
My initial reaction was, uh-oh, and I don't like that to be my first initial reaction. You know, I'm a positive Polly, but it feels utterly too fast. It feels a little bit desperate. It feels like the negatives may outweigh the positives of the situation. And I don't really understand the logic behind it. We watched one of the worst performances in the FCL, which is getting their moment. This is their summer, by the way. The FCL, yeah. I've never talked about this foreign
league. It's indispensable part of
Your conversation every day.
Where
too.
Would you be without
you
the
got
FCL?
Hyunjin Ryu lighting up the FCL, and then you've got Alek Manoah in the FCL. I know more about the FCL than I did previously, even though it existed.
Apparently, it's such a good league that results don't matter in the FCL.
Apparently not. So you can blow up in the FCL.
It's like, it was a bad edit. It was in the FCL.
You can have a pretty decent double A start, and then you can start for the Toronto Blue Jays a couple days later. So to me, my heart rate was going thinking about what potentially could happen from this. Obviously, it could also go flip side. It could be the greatest comeback story that we've seen for the Blue Jays in a very long time, but it seems quick and it seems risky.
It does seem those things. It definitely seems, if anything, it seems quick, right? Because we know of like two documented starts, I guess, one being in the FCL and one being at Double A. I mean, both people are like, wow, a really impressive start in Double A. I'm like, was it that
impressive? Double A.
It's Double A. And, you know, there are a lot of strikeouts, but it's not like five clean innings.
Did he
walk
three guys and hit a batter, too? Like,
yeah, it's not like this guy is, it just seemed like there was so much. Like, we got to rebuild Alek Manoah. And it's like, okay, maybe we did some cardio for 2 weeks. And then maybe we got out and worked on the one pitch that wasn't really working. That wasn't biting. The slider, we've got a little bit of a handle on the slider. It all didn't work in that FCL appearance, but we feel good about where we are going and what we've done with the 2 or 3 weeks that we've had Manoah down in our complex or in our facilities. And then it's one start at Double A, which is, again, if he did that, if he brought that to the major leagues, is that fifth starter caliber? Maybe it is.
It's hard to be able to compare.
The hitters are a little better at the major leagues than they are at Double A, but, you know, there's still a lot of competitive guys down there, a lot of guys who can pick up on a fastball that's going to hit a lot of the plate. So I don't really know if he's ready. I don't think he's ready. I would guess that he's not ready. He's going to see a team that's better than a Double-A team, but a very light-hitting Detroit Tigers team before the All-Star break. And I do see, like, reasons for it.
Me too.
But I also see...
Present those.
I guess we should run now, because what is, like, the major justification?
Okay, I think for me, it's not at home. It's very important for me that his first start is not at home at the Rogers Center.
Okay, so maybe you're running out of opportunities.
Yes.
We can check the schedule here quickly. Mm-hmm. But again, trade deadline.
This is their last trip.
End of the month.
Yep, this is their last games before the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
So Detroit Tigers, as he mentioned, a lighter-hitting team, not going to be the rowdiest of atmospheres as well. And it's right before the All-Star break, which gives him an opportunity to maybe, during the All-Star break, the MLB All-Star break, go pitch elsewhere still, like continue to work instead of just taking the week off. And maybe it just gives you not a one last chance, but a pulse check. Like, mm-hmm. What do we have in this guy? Can he be the Puma on the mound with a lot of doubt on him, right? Like, I'm sure he believes in himself more than most people believe in him. Like, it's just like kind of sad, but like, I don't think that the major majority of people responding well were that confident. I think Alec Manoah is the most confident in himself. I hope that didn't play into this decision. Like, when he's the one saying, put me in, coach, like, it needs to be a full team decision, I believe. Like, management, pitching coaches, the guy that runs the bench, like, all of that should factor in a little bit higher than what Alec Manoah thinks.
So the best opportunity to try is probably this one.
Yeah.
As we outlined, Detroit being Detroit, there are two more series played on the road, Seattle and the Dodgers, before the end of the month, which represents trade deadline, right? So I think the trade deadline is important here because you are trying to figure out what you have and what you need and what's available to you. Again, mm-hmm. I don't know how much you're going to, even if he's hot, right? He comes out and he has his stuff for, let's say, three innings, looks really good versus the Tigers, runs out of gas a little bit, has a decent outing, but you show some signs. And then you make your decision based off that, and then he goes into the next series would be either the Diamondbacks or the Padres, and mm-hmm. just gets lit up, and it's just like, what have you learned? Have you set him back even further? I'm not really sure. But I think the argument here, or the most of the justification, is the deadline and the importance of this season and figuring out if he's actually going to be a part of it. However, there are other reasons, too. I think this team, it probably feels lucky to get through their bullpen and starter era mm-hmm. because this team is not built to have bullpen starts. We've seen how Trevor Richards has done a really, really good job. Bowden Francis done a really, really good job in those starts. But how much stress it's had on the rest of the bullpen and other areas of the operation falling apart. So if, because Manoah is not there, you are severely diminishing your bullpen, well, that's going to affect your ability to make the playoffs. And guess what? You're two games back and in full chase mode with under half a game or half a season left this year. So I think just figuring out or finding out if there has been some meaningful rehabilitation now, as opposed to, hey, you got one chance before the deadline, let's see mm-hmm. it, and then let's make our decision. I think there is some justification there. But I also think if it goes really bad, and it's like, okay, we just learned that we can't count on him, and we have to go out and trade for someone. But you can also, like, quietly do the unfortunate thing of putting him back down. Because we've got an All-Star break ahead of
us. Yeah, it's the time
so
to do it.
It can be like, okay, that didn't go well. We're going to reevaluate. We'll see. And then there's like a little memo on a quiet week in Major League Baseball. It's like Alec Manoah sent back down to Double-A or mm-hmm. whatever. And I think maybe that's the best way to do things quietly or less embarrassingly. So I think there are a couple factors that come in, but I think the number one is the deadline is approaching and they got to figure out if they need another pitcher, because I don't think this bullpen thing can last you for another 80 games.
I wonder how much also the situation, like, they just came out getting swept by the Red Sox at home, and this was before yesterday's game as well. Like, John Schneider made this announcement in the, like, scrum. We'll have that clip, actually. We can play that on his decision to bring back Manoah. But I wonder how much of it is situationally based, too. Like, you're 45-40. You just got embarrassed by a division rival. Hyunjin Ryu positives are really floating around, but, you know, that's still not next week.
Blake Murphy telling us yesterday he's topping out at 88. What can that actually be? I mean, maybe the FCL guys can't
handle
it.
He's doing great in the FCL. Best league in the world. Let's play John Schneider and his decision to bring back Manoah. And this was, as I said, in front of reporters yesterday. I'm like, unbeknownst to anyone that it was going to happen.
I mean, we didn't really put a time frame on it, you know. It was not, you know, we always said from day one, like, he'll tell us when he's ready with the work that he's doing, and then kind of just putting the results aside and just kind of really focusing on the things that he was down there working on. So, again, he's a big part of our team, you know, both this year and going forward. So if we feel like he's ready to come back and contribute, we're gonna go ahead and pull the trigger. You know, and talking to him this whole time, he just wants to be part of it, right? And, you know, was frustrated that he wasn't giving our team a chance to win every time. But he wants to be here in the ups and the downs. So I think kind of perspective was good for him, and kind of just going through it for the first time in his career. Yeah, not ideal, but I think that he's kind of used that disappointment the right way and made some really positive strides.
So a couple times he mentioned, like, Alec wants this. Alec said he'd tell us when he's ready. You know, Alec's really, really confident. That's just that point that I just brought up. It can't just be Alec saying, give me the ball, because obviously he's the most, maybe the most, like, outward competitor on this team. You see it every time he's playing. Like, he never backs down from being in the fight. He's the Puma, right? Like, obviously he's going to want the ball. But at some point, it's the grown-up decision and the hard decision. If you say, you know what, I know you're ready, let's give you another round of starts. Like, you, at this point, you can take some time, right? But I also wonder about, I think he started at least two starts before he was sent down that we kept saying, you know, should they send him down? And that's maybe 2 weeks of extra time he could have had rehabbing and getting better. Now it feels like we're up against the clock, right? The trade deadline is approaching. The All-Star break's approaching. If they had sent him down two games before they did, maybe he'd have ramped up to a part where we feel a bit more confidence. But it seems quick. Seems like it's a low amount of actual practice and reps to get to this point. And, I mean, revisionist history. You could have set him down earlier. Maybe would have helped. But, I mean, Friday is going to be the most anticipated watched game of the season. It honestly feels that way. It's in Detroit. Maybe a road trip out there.
Yeah, I mean, are you?
I was pondering it.
Because of Manoah or because of just, I want to be back in the United States of America?
Here's 2 points. Oh, no.
After so much...
Two reasons why.
Patriotism yesterday.
I just love America. Miracle. I am going to a wedding on Saturday in Goderich. Well, it's actually in...
Oh.
It's in the smaller town, Lucknow.
Okay.
Yes. A Hamlet.
Well, we're gonna have to tee up Lucknow on Friday.
It's in the biggest Hamlet, the smallest Hamlet, but the biggest Hamlet in terms of, like, it's a Hamlet.
Sorry, what?
Like, it's a small Hamlet, but, like, it's a Hamlet.
Okay.
Lucknow. But Goderich is what you need to know. Anyway, yeah. So it's kind of on the way. Not really. Like, it's you're going that way. I could make a trip of it. Go Friday night, go to Detroit. Beautiful city.
Yeah, beautiful ballpark, too.
I was being a little sarcastic about the city.
Detroit has its...
Okay, so I think it's underrated. Maybe.
Well, I'm trying to tell you it's okay.
Okay, it's
fine.
Is
it underrated?
I haven't been there as a grown-up, as an adult.
I think you'll like it. I actually think you'll like it.
I think that this is a good question to discuss.
Legitimately a beautiful ballpark.
It's 4 hours to Detroit, then 2 hours to my wedding. It's already like 2.5 hours to the wedding regardless. So I'm adding a little bit of time, but it's an experience to see Alec Manoah.
Make a weekend of it.
Could I do it? Should I do it?
A little prep for the fan morning show on Monday.
590.
Very exciting. Yeah. Anyway. I mean, if not spending more time in Lucknow?
Yeah, beautiful place.
Detroit's a pretty decent consolation prize.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, this is an important start. Is it like must-see material in that I need to be there when Alec Manoah turns his season and the Blue Jays season around? I don't know. Maybe we're romanticizing a little bit. But I think you make good points about what they could have done before, the time squeeze, how that all contributes here, the volatility, how they might be rushing things. But again, you kind of need to know. You kind of need to know. And I don't know, like, you can't just handpick starts forever. You can do it temporarily against Detroit, who's still a major league team, and a double-A team still feasted a little bit on Alec Manoah just a week ago or less than a week ago. So it's not like... It's not like you can just tiptoe in and you're okay. Like, that's not the reality. If you're going to be there, you got to be prepared to go every 5 or 6 days based on, hey, maybe go a 6-man rotation here. Not really sure. But you got to be ready to do it again. And doing it again means doing it versus the San Diego Padres after the All-Star break, likely. Or the Arizona Diamondbacks after the All-Star break, likely. And I don't know if Manoah is ready for that. I don't even know after Friday if we'll know if Manoah is ready for that. But we're going to see
we'll know.
Partly because we have to see it.
I think we're going to know. and I don't feel good about it. And I hope he proves me wrong. I hope that Alec Manoah proves everybody wrong, because I think it's been a really tough, obviously, it's been a really tough season.
Wouldn't be proving you wrong.
What did you just drop? What is that noise, Justin?
Very loud. My phone just fell out of my pocket and landed on the chair.
Do you hear that? It's like echoing. Ringing.
Okay, we got it.
Sorry, everybody. That was Justin's fault. He just, it sounded like you stubbed your toe really hard.
It was vibrating.
You good?
Yeah, we're good.
What was I even saying? I just blacked out.
You were trying to be positive.
Oh,
positive
yeah.
Polly
yeah.
over
no,
Alec
no, no, no. What I'm saying is, honestly, I think that, and we're going to talk to Dan Shulman about this. If he has a good performance, man, that might be what the Blue Jays team needs to, like, get a little bit of oomph together. But they did win last night. We'll get to that. But then to go into the All-Star break. So, like, carry this momentum into what? Vacation? It's tough timing.
Now does Manoah get, like, the All-Star break everybody else gets?
No, he needs to go
pitch
elsewhere.
Does he get another start in the Florida? Wait, so 5 days.
He just gets, what, a vacation? No, he's got to keep grinding.
Well, if CBA matters, they might, like, you can't be around. I don't know
the CBA.
That may be actually a fact. So do you send him down right away so you avoid all that? I don't know. But five days from then would be 1, 2, 3, 4, it'd be the 12th midweek. Does he get another start? And then Padres on the 18th is his next one?
Yeah.
That would be the prudent thing to do, you would think. Because if it's just like, oh, he's here and he's back and he's, you know, Alec Manoah again, mm-hmm. you might be asking for trouble here.
I will say a good thing about this is they pushed Kevin Gausman back one more day. The more rest you can get Kevin Gausman, the more protection for him.
Bet on the Blue Jays Saturday?
Better.
Is what you're
saying?
Yeah,
I feel good about that. All right, well, I think the text line has lots of thoughts about Alec Manoah. So 590-590, we've seen a lot. I can give you a little preview, but Greg with two G's. I always wonder the decision to put in an extra G. My dad's name is Greg.
Well, you ask him.
He's only got one.
Why the
Gregory.
One G?
So Greg with two G's. Let me know if you like having two G's. Hey, guys, seems like they want to see if this season is going to be a season or not. I think that's a pretty fair point, because if it blows up and you're headed into the All-Star break, the trade deadline, you're not feeling good about it, do they become sellers? It feels really strange to me. I don't think they'd be sellers, but maybe they buy lower.
Yeah, I think
on the market.
It's, are we going after a starter here before the trade deadline, or are we trying to get bullpen help?
Eric says it seems way too early to bring Manoah up. Risk far outweighs the upside. Too soon. Let him cook down there, at least back-to-back good minor league starts. That sounds crazy. Yeah, back-to-back good minor league starts would be a good level of confidence.
Yeah, I think
Eric.
It would be something you'd maybe want to see before putting him into a major league game. But again, the situation is the situation. I do worry about, like, if he just gets shelled again, he's done for the year. Like, is he not? Like, if the
okay,
Detroit
let's do
Tigers.
Worst case scenario.
If the Detroit Tigers hang 10 runs on him.
Okay, 10 is. He'd be out of the game by 10.
Well, okay, yeah, probably. But let's say he can't get through two innings.
Okay, yeah, let's go innings.
It's one plus innings on the start. You're not seeing
him. He got one out last time. Can you imagine?
That's what I mean. If it's a repeat of that, is it such a confidence blow that it affects next season too? Because. A lot of it, the conversation on his way down is like, we just need him to be back one day. We need him to be back next year in that spot, doing the same things that he's done before. Maybe not competing for a Cy Young, but just being a competent starting pitcher again. That's what it needs to be. But I think you risk, after all he's went through the last month, which is not really, it's a little dramatic. Oh, you pitched at the Florida Complex League. Well, whatever.
Oh,
you're still a professional
athlete.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just in terms of like broken man, like, I don't know. I think he'll be okay. Eventually, but if it goes so poorly again over the last month, what he's gone through, what he's done, the confidence blow, the haters, all the stuff he's talking about, if it goes equally as bad in that nothing improves, you manage to gain nothing from your time away from the ball club, what does that mean in the immediate future? Probably he's not around anymore. What does it mean for the following season? I don't know. I think there's questions that it could affect.
He's looking to get paid.
Yeah, and that too, right? Like, John Klingberg, need to get to the Leafs, but John Klingberg losing out on $56 million, how did that affect his next season? How did that affect this upcoming season? How does that affect his mindset as a pro when you know you're never going to get the money that you could have got ever? And Manoah's not really in that position, but if Manoah doesn't get it back, Manoah's not going to be a man who can live off his baseball career for the rest of his life. If he doesn't get it back, mm-hmm. if he can't pitch at the major leagues, that's not going to be your living. I mean, it's time for plan B. Not immediately. You can keep grinding for a long, long time. But in order to be, like, comfortable at 55 years of old, if you're Alec Manoah, you might have to do something else. Guy like, you know, Kevin Gausman doesn't have to do anything else.
And he has a podcast, too.
Who?
Kevin Gausman.
There you go.
So he's double dipping.
Just because you don't have to do it doesn't mean you won't.
I think it could be extremely untenable. I wish him all the best. I cannot wait to watch this baseball game.
This conversation could have been simple. Tenable or untenable.
Untenable.
Friday night, Alek Manoah.
Ooh, scary. Okay, keep your text coming. 590-597 says, bad idea. Manoah isn't ready. They're showcasing him for a trade.
I don't think that's probably what they're going for.
I think the trade value would... You know what? It is interesting, though.
Wrong time to trade Alek Manoah.
Yeah, right. But people, baseball teams would know what he has been. But I still think it's you're not going to look past what this year is. Like, can a guy lose it and find it that quick? I don't think his trade value would be real great.
In a couple years, if he still hasn't got it and people are like, we can fix Alek Manoah, then
the project.
Then you might be able to trade him for some peanuts. But you're not getting anything in terms of comparable value for Alek Manoah right now.
Okay, one or two more here. George says, why is everyone being so negative? Only the Jays have actual data, and they know if his slider is good or not. Nobody else has that info, so everybody needs to calm down.
I mean, Ailish is the most positive person
I'm
going
trying,
here.
George, but I need to see it.
It's concerning. If we see the slider, we'll be really happy. If we see everything biting, we'll be very happy. If we see this fastball locating, we'll be very happy.
Show me.
But we'll
Prove
know.
It.
We'll know based on what the Tigers, as bad as the Tigers may be, we know if it's a hitting machine, if it's a pitching machine, rather. Like, we're going to know.
A human.
Because they're going to be able to hit it.
Let's see a human in the major league.
And Alek Manoah wasn't much better than that when he was pitching for the Blue Jays this year.
Okay, we'll take your thoughts, 590-590. We'll talk to Dan Shulman about it. He seemed very surprised as well when he had to come on the broadcast and say, we got a lot of other things to talk about. Now we're talking about Alek Manoah. So that's at 8 o'clock. We will have our guy, Dan Shulman. It's a bad time to be an Angels fan or a player on the Angels. I don't know if you saw this, but Mike Trout yesterday breaks this bone that I didn't know existed.
The old hamate?
Hamate bone, out 6 to 8 weeks. Shohei leaves the game yesterday with a blister, won't pitch in the All-Star game, already came out and said, I'm not pitching the All-Star game. And he got, for the first time ever in his career, ever, any FCL, et cetera, back-to-back home runs hit off of him.
Imagine Shohei at the FCL.
Can you imagine? That would be, I think there'd be a line from here to get in. Mm. And then Anthony Rendon leaves the clubhouse on crutches with a bruised shin. So I think that's 44% of their payroll is out. Anyway, with that being said, Brandon Belt, just an absolute beauty of a human.
Tooth and nail, really, to get into the All-Star game.
Yes, he's right? been scratching his way in there.
He's close.
He had a very funny tongue-in-cheek comment to the media, which kind of actually aged a little bit poorly because Shohei ends up getting off the All-Star game pitching.
At least from pitching roster. Standpoint. Yeah.
So let's play Brandon Belt on his All-Star snub.
The All-Star game's rigged. You know, they put the people in there that they want in there. They don't want me in there for some reason. So I'll be sitting at home watching Shohei hit my spot in the All-Star game. Will he do as good as me? Probably not. But, you know, that's the cards I was dealt. So I got to live with it.
There you go.
It's funny until you realize that we're living with Brandon Belt being, you know, number three or four hitter from this Toronto Blue Jays team.
Yeah.
If it was like, you know, the guy in the seventh hole who's, you know, producing in the seventh hole, I'd be like, yeah, it's hilarious, Brandon. But, you know, we kind of need you to perform like Shohei or closer too.
Well, maybe the Blue Jays got off to a good start last night in Chicago. And I thought it was absolutely outrageous that they had fireworks for the last, I don't know, four innings consecutively.
It was
going
like nonstop,
off.
Yeah.
What's going on? I know America loves it big and bold, America.
They love fireworks.
But the game was going on, and for four straight innings, you heard fireworks. Like, it must be distracting. We'll talk to Dan about that because he mentioned it a few times. Like, you are hearing fireworks behind us. Didn't stop. Anyway, mm-hmm. Blue Jays with a big, big win that they needed, 4-3 last night, of course. And Vladdy comes up clutch. And Vladdy right now, I don't know, he's heating up. He's got over 1,000 OPS in his last 10 games.
Yeah, doing it in different ways, too. Like, we've seen a lot of good Vladdy swings, or more good Vladdy swings lately, mm-hmm. But a lot of them look the same. That one was a little different, an opposite field, like line drive, just hitting it really hard. Mm-hmm. That's all great stuff. And, of course, a big, big moment for the Blue Jays, kind of stealing that game after it looked like Luis Robert had stolen it for the Chicago White Sox. But, yeah, it was a good Bassett start until he ran into trouble there. He really makes one mistake and gets punished really severely for it.
One low blemish, really.
But Vladimir Guerrero Jr. makes sure that it doesn't result in a loss for Bassett and the Blue Jays. And Romano looked really, really good.
That slider was unhittable.
That was as good as I've seen him look, I think, all year. Like, he just looked nasty, nasty, nasty yesterday, which is a great thing. Clearly, Swanson gets through his appearance. You know, the major players that needed to step up for the Blue Jays in what was... These are pretty important games here down the stretch. These six games versus teams that aren't really any good. Important to have a good run, even though they're on the road. I don't know. Is five too much to ask for? Maybe. It's just you need to put your best foot forward. And dropping another opener, it would be at least four straight in a series, would be... It would be five, I think, actually. Would be pretty disappointing, right? And I thought we were trending towards that. And... Vladimir Jr. helps cash the wake and rake because we needed the Blue Jays.
We were watching that one. Both Justin and I, our legs hit earlier in the day. Vladdy hits the homer. We win the wake and rake. Boom. There's your happy 4th of July. But yeah, it was a pretty good Bassett start. The one blemish, the Blue Jays find a way to rally back. They haven't been able to do that much lately. But Bo put on a really great defensive masterclass, something we talked about yesterday when we gave our positives about the Blue Jays.
He did contribute to the Bassett blow up there.
He did, but I wrote that in the doc before that happened. He was performing very well.
It's binding once it's in there.
Yes, I understand the dot, dot, dot. And then, but George Springer had a weird game. That...
He got hit in the face.
He got hit in the face, and then he goes to catch the foul ball, and then he like takes a little moment there, like takes the play off, and then realizes the play is still going on. And even I think Schneider post game was like, "Yeah, I had a bit of a weird game." And I was like,
"Believe he also had a chance to tie the game with one."
I think he went 0-5. It just wasn't a good night for George Springer. And I thought he's like Captain America. I was like, "This guy's going to go off today." Yeah, might have bet on him.
Uncharacteristically poor performance.
Whit Merrifield. Two-hit Whit with a really important, was a two-run double there with bases loaded. There was a couple opportunities where I thought where the Blue Jays were going to lose it. I think they set it up perfectly in the eighth for the top of the order. Or was it the eighth? A runner on third, couldn't get it done. Bo came up.
That was seventh.
Guaranteed Rate Field, terrible name for a baseball stadium. Yeah. Terrible.
Guarantee it's the worst.
Nice. But yeah, go for Blue Jays. Who's starting tonight? We've got... Kikuch.
I have to check it.
It is Jose Barrios, my bad, against Lance Lynn. So that'll be at 8 p.m., of course, on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 590 Fan. Anywhere you want to watch on Sportsnet, we'll tee that up for sure later with Dan Shulman and in the wake and rake. We do have John Schneider on Vlad's homer. As I said, Vlad's got over 1,000 OPS. He's heating up. He's headed to the All-Star game for the home run derby. Oh, see, there's your positives, whoever it was in the text line, George.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going well. Okay, here's Schneider on Vlad's homer.
Vladdy in a groove is dangerous. I mean, I think everyone knows that. He's been in those spots, it seems like, quite a bit. And, you know, he's putting together consistent at-bats. But if we can get him, you know, Vladdy in a groove, I like that. If we can get that consistently, that would do wonders for our team.
There you go. Consistency is king. And maybe not playing AL East opponents because now they're 39-20. 39-20 against non-AL East teams.
Yeah, I mean, that is a remarkable record. It is really, really impressive what they've been able to do outside the division. If you could only break even.
It's stunning.
Things would be pretty good. Yeah, it would be. What's more stunning? Being 7-20 versus, I mean, yeah, that's definitely
That's the stunning one.
39-20 is pretty stunning, too.
Gregory back here said, mother added a G. She didn't want it to be Gregory. Funny, but true, you asked. That's Greg.
That's the reason why you didn't want to be confused for Gregory.
Greg.
So you go Greg?
Greg. I think you have to say it like that.
Okay.
Jeff from Oakville says, good morning, Elish and Justin. I agree with George. Jays have more info than we do. I really hope so because they're really riding on them being data scientists when they put Manoah on the mound on Friday.
I suppose, but like... I don't know. The people that were, and that was a big talking point after the FCL start, was like, oh, there are things that you don't know.
And you brought that up. You didn't like the way Schneider spin zoned it.
Yeah, I just, it's not that they're being dishonest, but it's like, you can just like admit, you can give us 10% of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be like, yeah, we're still working on some things, but a couple of things we were really, really important to us. Looked like we made progress towards. But, you know, there's a couple things we obviously have to clean up because you can't lie when you're giving up 10 runs. And maybe he was just work. Maybe it was one thing he was working on. These 18 and 19 year olds from the FCL got to just dial in to fastballs they knew they were that were going to be located in a specific place. Maybe that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But like at some point, you need to get batters out. You need to avoid hard content. I don't think they dinked and dunked their way to 11 runs over whatever it was to. Two innings a plus, and you didn't even finish the inning. Like that's the thing. No one signs up for. We're gonna go 2 2/3 here at the FCL. I don't think. I mean, I'm not the FCL expert, but I would think
you might be soon.
I would think it's like, hey, let's throw these many. It might be a pitch count thing, but let's go 3 innings here today. Let's do 3 innings, and we'll just work on some stuff through 3 innings, getting the hook through 2 2/3 or whatever it was. I mean, that's not the best look going. But again, we know they know stuff we don't. And there was progress in the next start in live action at Double A. It does, again.
He did get 10 strikeouts.
It feels overly hopeful. It does that he's going to be fixed and voila, he's ready to go against the Detroit Tigers. But maybe it was mostly confidence and maybe the confidence is back and maybe the confidence can swell if he has a good start against the Detroit Tigers. And if you're just looking for a little bit of a dice roll, hey, he needs to see it and then maybe he's got it, then the Detroit Tigers are the best bet for you.
Text in 590-590. Here's one. Manoah had 10 Ks, 80-something pitches, only 47 more strikes. That's concerning, but I hope it works out for him, Friday.
Yeah, I was seeing like a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, throwing a lot of strikes. 40, it's not like the greatest ratio I've ever seen.
Our buddy Will from Niagara has a really great point. My son pitched another 2 scoreless innings. His ERA is 1.45 in 5 starts with 10 strikeouts. I mean, if Manoah doesn't work out, how old is your son?
There you
Let's
go.
Let's get him up here. Get him in the FCL with Hyunjin Ryu, and we'll see him soon. 2 things here about my potential pending trip to the beautiful city of Detroit. Mike and Kaladin says, downtown Detroit is a time. It's been completely redeveloped. Do it up.
It's good.
Someone says, yeah, stop in London for a few beers.
Naturally.
It's a long
Shout
trip.
Out to the Seeps.
And then Lucknow. Giacomo apparently knows Lucknow, and that's rare because it's not a very populated place in the world. Lucknow, I think, has ferret farms. He used to work with a kid that their family owned it.
We need a full Lucknow scouting report Friday, I think. For me.
I think so. Here we go. Manoah's just throwing straight sliders one after another in the FCL. We'll have to get the chart.
Maybe it was something like, again, we probably should know. We probably do know more about that. And it wasn't just like one pitch over and over and over again. But you can't actually be competitive. Like you don't face live batting throwing one pitch because clearly they're going to pick up on that and not bite at the slider. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to figure out a way to realize the path of the slider and just absolutely tee off on that. Like you don't face live batting with one pitch. You just don't do it. Maybe only fastballs I could see, but it's like you're not doing 80 sliders in a row. I don't think that's good for your arm anyway, throwing 80 sliders in a row. I can imagine that's what you'd want to be doing as a pitcher who's trying to get back up to the major leagues in short order.
Mm-hmm.
But they were not going to try to set him up for failure. And hey, go throw 80 sliders against 18-year-olds is setting you up for failure.
Okay, we'll see if the risk is worth the reward. We have Toronto Blue Jays tonight, 8 p.m., as I mentioned, Jose Berríos on the mound. Our guest today, a Stanley Cup champ in Nick Kiprios, an Olympic gold medalist in Sarah Nurse, and a Grey Cup champion in Swag Kelly joining us. That's the end of the show. And then
a little
Dan
Argos
Shulman.
Talk to close.
Yeah, a big Argos show. The guy in the text line yesterday was rattled that we did talk about the Argos at 6. You have to wait till
8:30 because we got the quarterback.
We got it all coming. We will do the A-list next, and we will play the most electric radio clip to ever make the airwaves in not only Toronto, but North America, maybe worldwide. That's next.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Okay, I teased it before the break, and I wasn't exaggerating. Joey Chestnut, you know, iconic American legend.
Maybe his finest moment ever yesterday.
It certainly could have been. He's probably one of the most decorated athletes of all time. Whether you think the mustard belt is legit or not, he's got 16 of them, okay? I don't have 16 of anything. I only have 16 pairs of socks. And Joey Chestnut has 16 mustard belts.
Yeah.
All right.
Facts.
We have to play this intro clip because I don't know if you can do this, like, on your like tombstone have like a clip, just play. They'll have that one day. Like science is getting there, like technology.
It's like the Science Center. Touch here to learn more about Joey Chestnut.
That's what I want. I want that on my own tombstone one
day. Pretty good, actually.
Here is Joey Chestnut being introduced for yesterday's iconic Nathan's Hot Dog competition, which he saved from happening when they tried to cancel it on him. They tried to end Joey Chestnut's streak.
Tried to cancel Joey.
And he persevered. And you just need to listen to this clip and get ready for your day. Like if you're in the mirror, you're getting ready right now, just let this propel you to greatness today.
15,000 generations of humanity, yet we have evolved not at all. Bound like animals to the laws of physics, shamed before the universe. And in all of history, only one man has stood to say that he will dictate what is and is not possible in this world. I speak of this man.
Amazing.
For he has broken reality, and all of time pours down around us now at once, simultaneous and endless, erasing cause and effect and opening all possibilities before us. And the ancient powers are subordinated to their own creation. And they smile at his achievement. And they say he shall live forever. For he does not do it for money. He does not do it for glory. He does it for his people. He does it for his country. He does it for freedom. And the gods shine down on us now. And the gods shine down on us still. Because of him alone, because of him alone, the Nathan's famous 4th of July champion of the world, Joey Chestnut!
They almost didn't have that.
Yeah, now we know why Joey was pushing so hard.
He knew that was going to be iconic.
I spent $10,000 on this opening. We are hearing this opening.
Absolutely iconic moment in our sports history.
It's pretty good.
Could be a Mount Rushmore.
That guy needs, whoever did that needs, you know, a next big gig.
That's
like he needs an agent
for
right
this.
Now. That
no,
guy
I think
needs
that's the only thing he does. I think he just disappears for 364 days.
Leaving money on the table.
And he comes in. Anyway, that just, I'm like, I'm shaking a little bit. I'm ready to crush all our interviews today. So yes, lightning delay. Joey says, not today, folks. I need to compete. 62 dogs. Not his best showing, but whatever, still wins. Under 10 minutes, of course. That's 18,814 calories consumed. 1,126 grams of fat. But let me tell you this, 675 grams of protein. What's more important? Protein.
Yeah. Joey's building a lot of muscle.
He's swole, as the kids say.
Filling up the reservoir. You know what would suck? Having to eat all that. But you get no attention. Like, Joey got that intro.
Oh, the other people,
Joey
right.
gets the mustard
like,
belt.
Why bother?
Joey gets all the plot. It's all about Joey. All the camera time is Joey. You're on the end of the line, and you're putting, you know, well, how many calories did Joey Chestnut go with?
Too much. 18,000 or something.
18,000. So let's say you put in 13,000 empty calories at the end of the line. No camera time.
It.
No one even knows you're there. But you put 13,000 into the system.
Your only hope is that you're positioned beside
fanfare.
Joey. That you get a little camera time, or your name is Glizzy Lizzie.
Or you come up with a sweet
your
nickname.
Your name is Glizzy Lizzie. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, the debut of Glizzy Lizzie.
Was her debut?
Yes, it was her Nathan's famous debut. So this is it. You can't come into the competition named Glizzy Lizzie and eat four hot dogs.
She had four
it's
hot dogs?
It's embarrassing. I could eat four hot dogs. I could have beat Glizzy Lizzie.
You would have crushed Glizzy
So why
Lizzie.
Am I not a part of this? If Glizzy Lizzie goes up there and only eats four dogs, what are we doing here?
Let's say Sportsnet was like, we can get you into this
there,
competition
Justin,
next year.
I would train so hard.
You would train.
I would do this. I would beat Glizzy Lizzie.
You would sacrifice your future health to participate in this event.
I'd do it for the fans.
Wow.
Glizzy Lizzie.
I mean,
how many times can you say Glizzy Lizzie in a day?
I don't want to try.
I think I'm at 10. I'm at more Glizzy Lizzie mentions than her hot dog consumption.
You don't even have to train because you could do four.
I could do four.
And not embarrass yourself. You could be a viral sensation like Glizzy Lizzy when she only put four back.
It's honestly embarrassing.
How long is the time?
10 minutes. You're telling me you couldn't eat four hot dogs in 10 minutes?
I could.
I could easily.
I hate hot dogs and I could.
Okay, there you go. So we, should we do this one day? Me versus you. Now, no. I don't want to even tiptoe into that. I take it back.
No.
Delete that from the radio. One other thing about Joey. Iconic dude, saves America yesterday, then gets on for a post-game interview and continues to just be an absolute beauty. Here's his post-game interview. Do we have it?
It's weird because I try to time everything out, so not only am I empty, I'm amped up. And it all got, everybody got messed up, and it affected me, but I feel great. I got leftover room, so I'll be having some beers later.
Leftover room. Gonna have beers later. Let's just keep filling up the gut with gluten. What a guy, eh? I couldn't have beers after. I couldn't even walk home after the Blue Jays game when I had 10 hot dogs. My ankles were so swollen. I literally was a walking sausage.
Oh,
and he's
man.
Crushing beers. Like, that's why he's built different. Hashtag built different.
Good for him.
All right. We have a couple minutes. We got to do our John Deere picks. And I have done absolutely zero research
into
this.
And this is a lower level tourney,
man,
too.
There
I don't
are
even have
some
my,
names.
I don't have my guys. I don't have my trademark picks.
It is actually like, it's a bit stunning, the names here. So I'm going zero research. I'm up so far, like I can just mail it in.
Okay.
But this
five
is where,
and a Canadian?
But this is where it can get sneaky because you could pick some guy that's what, like plus 5,000.
Problem is, my guys are such short odds, I can't even make any inroads this week.
So yeah, John Deere Classic, we talked to Adam Hadwin yesterday, and we're going to do our picks. Five guys and one Canadian. Is there even two Canadians in this field?
I see two.
Okay, well, I get to go first because all I've right. been off for a month.
Oh, sure.
Give me the kiddo, Ludvig Åberg.
Really?
Yeah. Buddy, I don't
You're
even...
going Ludvig.
Yeah, give me this kiddo because I put zero research in, and it's time for him to win.
All right, I'm taking Adam Hadwin, our guy yesterday.
Excuse me, you can't take the Canadians right away.
You always go out of order.
Never have I ever done that, but sure, okay, you can take him.
I'm
great.
Taking Adam Hadwin.
That's who I was going
to 28 to 1.
It's pathetic. Cam Young, plus 1,800.
Wow, he should be. How is he not the favorite? He's like the only big name.
Denny McCarthy is the favorite.
That's brutal. I'm going to go. I got to go a little higher on the board here. I'm going to go with, Nick Taylor's sniffing around. I can't go that way. I'm going to go Shea Revi, 55 to 1. He's been sniffing around since we started badmouthing him.
Shea Revi, remember we were like, who's this guy?
Exactly. He's been playing well.
Canadian
since
Canadian Open.
Playing well.
Was he 55 to 1?
55 to 1.
Give me, well, obviously I'll take Nick Taylor now. No, I'll save him because there's no point.
Yes.
Give me Adam Shank. What a guy.
Shank, okay. 30 to 1?
Yep.
I'm going Mark Hubbard, 60 to 1.
Okay. God, we're not even picking anyone near the top.
Well, I can't.
What do you know about Denny McCarthy other than he's a favorite?
I know he can putt. He can roll the rock.
Oh, my God. Then give me him because that's my goal in life is to be Denny McCarthy putter. And by the way, my putter's coming, so I'm going to watch some Denny McCarthy. I'm at four picks. Go ahead.
Eric Cole, 33 to 1.
You like him a lot.
I do.
I'm going to pick the most random name. No, I was going to say, give me Sepp Straka.
Are you going Sepp?
Yeah, whatever. Live a little.
Sepp Straka's, yeah, he can go low.
I'm going fun names. That's my
50 to 1. You don't need to be hanging around in that range, but
yeah,
you
whatever.
Will.
Live
and my, is this my last pick?
Yeah.
My last pick is going to be Nate Lashley, 90 to 1.
Nice. That's a good one. Nate Lashley, and I will go Nick Taylor.
Okay.
So I've got the kiddo. Ludvig Åberg, Cam Young, Adam Shank, Denny McCarthy, the favorite, Sepp Straka, Nick Taylor.
I got Hubbard, Revi, Cole, Hadwin, and my guy, Nate Lashley.
All right. Best of luck, Justin. Let's take a break. We have star-studded guests, as I mentioned, Nick Kyprios. He and Bourne finished season two of Real Kipper and Bourne yesterday. Vacation starts after our interview. What a guy. He's
season finale season at this station's interesting, eh? A lot of farewells.
It's just fun. And then he comes on the radio at 7 a.m. the next morning for us.
We should take off 1 week and just be like, that was season one of season two for you, season one for me. We just need, like, do we have the same
No,
like, we don't get much
different.
Of a summer.
We don't
but
get
like,
that.
We need our
Kipper
season
Bourne
too.
Deserve it. I'm just stunned that he wanted to start his vacation with us.
Even on off days, he came on
it's
with
beautiful.
Us. It doesn't make sense.
No, but he's
we love it.
He's a true vet. All right, Kipper. After the break.